Time to meet the men from the ministry. Join us for another canter down the corridors of power with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. In government service, dedicated men spend long hours grappling with the crises of the modern world.
Oh, I've been working all morning on this one, Mildred. The finance situation being what it is, I've just got to get it right, you see.
But you finished now, have you?
Yes, I think this is the best plan. Now, if you just stand by to take it down.
Enter poise, sir.
Right. First election, Jolly Jack in the 2:30 each way bet. 7-year itch in the 3 o'clock. D for two at four. And finally, Roman Nose.
Roman Nose?
That's running at Epsom.
I always reckon backing horses is the surest way to get nothing for something.
No nonsense, Mildred. You must be optimistic. Everything's got a bright and sunny side.
Hello, one.
Well, almost everything.
Sorry, I'm late back from lunch. I was eating it in the park and the dust pinched my porridge sandwiches.
Yes.
Ah, oh, what a shame.
Don't worry, I waded in and got them back.
Waded in? But your trousers aren't wet.
Well, of course not. I took them off.
You took your trousers off, but didn't people see you?
No, I was hidden by the crowd on the bank.
Oh, glory of you. By the way, Mildred, put an accumulator on all four bets, would you?
That horse you bet yesterday didn't do too well, one.
Just unlucky, that's all. Should have been a photo finish.
By the time your horse passed the post, it was too dark to take photos.
Well, you can scoff, too, but pretty soon the boot will be on the other side of your face. Thanks to my new system, I'll be making a fortune today.
Really, one?
When these horses come up, I'll get thousands. I'll be able to buy a big house in the country. It's like Sir Gregory has done.
Oh, by the way, Sir Gregory rang just now. He'd be dropping in to see how you're getting on with that new job he gave you.
Well, we've been... And on the other hand, the... What was this new job, Mildred?
I don't know what you do without me. I really don't. It's the Milk Marketing Board, isn't it?
Oh.
You're supposed to be putting up ideas to boost their sales.
Yes, yes, yes. Have you any ideas, too?
Not really. I'm afraid milk keeps me awake.
Milk keeps you awake?
Yes, the dairy delivers at 5 a.m.
Oh, Charlie, look, well, I've been nipping out for a moment now, Mildred. I promised to explain my infallible racing system to Rudge at the Board of Trade. See? Now, I'll be back by the time Sir Gregory gets here.
Righty-ho, sir.
Now then, too, we'd better look busy. Remember, Sir Gregory's threatened to drop in.
Well, I suppose we can't complain. He hasn't really troubled us lately.
Well, he's been too busy with his new house, hasn't he? Hmm? Did you see the picture in today's Gazette?
No.
I've got it here. Now, have a look at that. Ooh. It's certainly a lovely old place, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Sir Gregory Pitkin's newly acquired stately home. Lady Pitkin stands outside with her dog.
It's Tudor, you know.
I'm not surprised. It does look rather vicious.
Of course, he's had the whole place renovated, you know.
Has he?
Oh, yes, and a swimming pool built in the garden. He's giving an enormous barbecue party by the pool next month.
Is he? We haven't been invited.
Well, you haven't, too, because you're a junior executive. Yeah. Only VIPs and the top brass, you see, will be going.
You've been asked, have you?
Well, not yet. But no doubt I will be.
Good afternoon, you two.
Oh, Sir Gregory, how nice to see you.
Talk of the devil.
Do have a seat, sir. Make yourself at home. And no doubt you wish you were at home in that splendid new mansion of yours. 24 bedrooms, I understand.
Yes, and that's only the east wing. Well, a man in my position needs a decent place, Lennox Brown.
Oh, of course. Yes,
very pleasant on a summer's evening to make a pot of coffee and sit there in the grounds.
Yes, quite so, yes. And how is Lady Pitkin, sir?
Oh, very busy. You know, we're finalizing preparations for my barbecue party.
I suppose the invitations will be, they'll be going out soon.
They've already gone out, Lennox Brown.
Oh, have they?
Well, most of them.
Yeah, you mean there are still some to come?
Champagne and dancing by the pool, music and caviar and the moonlight. Oh, you'll be amazed when you see the decor.
Yes, I'm sure. Did you say when I see it, sir? Oh, then you mean the...
Yes, of course. There'll be pictures in all the papers. It may even be covered on television. Now, listen, you two. I've just had a word with Lord Stilton.
Ah, the man in charge of civil service invitation. Administration.
That's right. Yes, he's very worried about the meteorological office. Oh. And these Met Office people are so preoccupied with their rain gauges and their barometric pressures, they haven't been filling in their forms properly.
Good Lord.
So you're both to go over to the Met Office for a few weeks and get their paperwork organized.
Oh. You mean instead of our work on the Milk Marketing Board?
No, Lamb. In addition to your work with the Milk Marketing Board, this is a bonus.
Oh, thank you, Sir Gregory.
Yes, well, I want you both to get over there as soon as possible.
Met Office. Don't much fancy that.
No, I don't know. I think it might be rather fun. And it'll be a change at any rate.
Excuse me, Mr. Bassett.
Aye, what's up, Peabody?
Sorry to disturb you, Mr. Bassett. I said sorry to disturb you.
Come in then, lad, sit down. I'll be with you in a minute. Just let me finish tonight's forecast.
I don't mean to be a nuisance. I said I don't mean to be a nuisance.
By heck, Peabody, what's the matter? You stood there like a shallow depression. Are you poorly?
No, I'm all right in myself. I'm not under the weather.
Not under the weather, he said. What's the trouble, lad?
Someone's been tampering with my instrument.
Well, it's only the youthful high spirits, lad. You know what these typists are like.
But the end's broken off. I said... I said the end's broken off.
You what?
The anemometer. It's broken, and now we can't measure the wind.
Shush your chatter, Peabody. There's two chaps coming from ministry today. Up and they can help us.
Ah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Mr. Bassett, is it? And Mr. Peabody?
That's right.
Yes.
I said, that's right.
Yes. Now, my name's Leonard Brown, and this is my junior colleague here. This is Mr. Lamb.
How do you
do? Well, take a few, gents. Welcome to Met Office. Yes. You've come to help us with our paperwork, I hear.
As far as I can see, you've not filled in any forms for several months.
Ah, well, we tried to do without them, you see.
Do without forms? Well, what's the country coming to? I'd better go through your files. This is a dreadful state of affairs.
I'm very interested in the climate, Mr. Bassett. I do a little forecasting myself, in an amateur way.
What, by watching meteorological pattern?
No, by watching the state of my knees.
You what?
Knees, yes. If I get a twinge in my left knee, I know it's going to rain. As a matter of fact, I've got one now.
But that's plain daft, isn't it? There's hardly a cloud in the sky.
Well, it's never let me down yet.
By heck, Peabody, he's right. Look!
It's a downpour, Mr. Bassett. I said it's a downpour.
I've also got an ache in my left elbow, which means the thunder about. What did I tell you?
Mr. Lum, that's fantastic. This talent of yours could be very useful to us. You see, we've broken our anemometer.
So we can't make a forecast properly. I said we can't make a forecast properly.
Well, I'd be delighted to help you out, and I'll tell you one thing straight away. I'll be soaked to the skin tonight.
Your knee playing up worse, is it?
No, I left my umbrella in the office.
Here's your 11, sir, and I borrowed Mr. Lamb's noddy mug. I hope you won't mind.
Not likely to find out, is he? Lording it over at the Met Office. While he's showing off over there, I have to sit here tackling these milk marketing problems on my own.
Oh, well, never mind, sir. I mean, perhaps Sir Gregory will invite you to his party on the 22nd.
Oh, I'm not interested in his moldy party. Anyway, it's the 21st, not the 22nd. 7:30 for 8, evening dress. In the West Garden.
Oh, Leonard Brown. I want a word with you.
Oh, come in, Sir Party.
There, Sir Gregory. Have a seat, sir.
Well, I just wanted to tell you how pleased I am with Lamb. He's really been a great success at the Met Office.
Yes, well, I think he's learned something in his years as my junior.
The experts are most impressed with him. They're not actually letting him write the forecast yet, but they're using a lot of his data. Now, the other reason for my visit is to see if you're doing anything on the evening of the 21st.
21st? Thank you, Sir Gregory. Yes, well, I'd better just consult my diary, sir. At this moment, the
21st, you said?
That's right, the 21st.
Yes. Yes, I do seem to be free on that night, sir.
Well, I'm holding a party at my new house. I think I mentioned it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. May
I? We're planning to have this big barbecue by the swimming pool.
A big barbecue by the swimming pool, sir, yes.
And we're looking for someone to turn the handle of the barbecue spit.
You're looking for someone to turn that... Turn the handle of the barbecue spit?
Yes, I thought you'd be the very person. It doesn't need any skill, you see.
But, Sir Gregory, I...
And, of course, it won't be all work. I'm sure Cook will find you something in the kitchen at the end of the evening.
Sir Gregory, I...
And no need to worry about your clothes. We'll give you a white overall.
Sir Gregory, I'm afraid I shall not be able to assist you on the 21st.
But you just said you were free.
Yes, well, I hadn't noticed, sir. The 21st is, it's the Queen's birthday. So I tried to avoid too many commitments.
Oh, well, so just say Lennox Brown. It's going to be a splendid occasion.
I'm sure it will be, sir. Yes.
Yes, I've invited plenty of gals to add a spot of glamour around the swimming pool. And Lord Stilton is going to drop in.
A very nice friend.
Well, mutton keep you from your work, Lennox Brown. You've plenty to do to keep up with young Lamb.
Blooming cheek. Aren't he trying to get you along as the Iredell?
Yeah, I don't mind being insulted by Sir Gregory. I'm used to it by now. No, what gets my goat is all this fuss about Lamb.
This job at the Met Office seems right up his alley.
Well, John, Mr. Lamb, you were right again this morning.
One thing does worry me, Mr. Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wonder why you're keeping 3 sheep and a herd of cows in the front hall.
My granny swears by sheep and cows. When cows do sit and their legs seem missing, down the rain will soon come pissing. And when sheep all turn their backs in one direction, that's where the wind's going to come from.
Aye, we'll leave them for now, Mr. Lamb. There's a more important matter. Well, 2 more important matters.
Really?
Well, first off, we've been so impressed with the stuff you've given us, we think it's time we let you do the actual forecast. In your own words, like.
You mean my forecast will go out on the BBC?
Aye. And tonight's must be specially accurate.
Yes.
The army are standing by for a big exercise tomorrow, and they'll not start unless they know the weather will be okay.
My words will be read by the real announcer. My superiors will be impressed.
Another gin and tonic with your gin and tonic, Lord Stilton?
No, thank you, Pitkin. I never drink much before dinner. Besides, I've already had 7.
So glad you can get along to my party next month.
Looking forward to it, Pitkin. Your new country mansion sounds quite a place.
Then I think it will be quite an evening. I've just heard TV cameras are definitely going to be there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that documentary fella, Alan Snicker. He's filming the house and the party for his series on the stately homes of England.
Well, let's hope we get a fine evening.
Well, at least we'll know in advance. The weather forecasts are so much more accurate lately.
Oh, is that so?
Yes. I sent one of my staff along to the Met Office to help him out.
Well done, well done.
Well, I mustn't take all the credit, but I suggested he use the old country folklore. And it worked splendidly. I've always had great faith in these tried and trusted methods.
Folklore?
Never fails. I told young Lamb all about it. Oh, he's one of the bright new team I developed. As from today, he's writing the forecast himself.
Well, perhaps we should hear one, Pitkin. There's a big army exercise tomorrow. They're depending on fine weather.
Let's see. Yes, we're just in time. They'll be coming to the end of the news. Now, if you pass my radio, I'll switch it on. And I think you'll be rather impressed.
The minister said action would be taken urgently as soon as he heard from the Royal Commission. They were rushing their report and hoped to complete it by 1990. And now the weather forecast. A generally clear night, but there may be a bit of rotten old cloud around cocoa time. Never mind, tomorrow looks very jolly, so remember, hang out your woolies by 7:30. They'll all be dry before 11.
What on earth is this nonsense?
Visibility good, except in darkness. Very dry. There's absolutely no chance of rain.
switch it off, Pitkin. I've never heard such rubbish in all my life.
Rubbish, sir?
Total and utter rubbish, the whole thing.
Yes, sir, of course, sir. Absolute rubbish. I've said so all along.
Folklore, it's all complete piffle.
My own view exactly. I'll get him off it at once.
Folklore, indeed, man. This is the 20th century.
Quite right, sir. You put your finger on it.
I've just remembered something else. The government's ordered a computer to forecast the weather anyway.
Yeah, computer, sir.
Oh, wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Cost $3.5 million, you know. Being installed next week. That'll remove the element of human error entirely.
Now then, too.
Ah, you've come to congratulate me on my work with the weather.
Well, to put it as tactfully as I can, no.
No?
Sir Gregory was appalled at your forecast yesterday. Childish rubbish, he called them.
He can be very rude when he wants to be.
Well, that was the politest thing he said. And not only that, they were wildly inaccurate.
We all make mistakes.
But yesterday wasn't a good time to choose. Because you promised fine weather, the army launched their biggest exercise in years.
And it wasn't a success?
No, it was not. A battalion of troops in light summer rigs stuck in a snowdrift on Dartmoor. Froze the buttons off their tunics.
Oh,
the Yorkshire regiment got lost in the fog and ended up storming Bradford Art Gallery.
It won't happen again, Martin.
Yes, that's very true, too. In future, forecasts will be done by computer. It's being installed next week. There it is, Mildred. The new weather computer. £3.5 million worth of top technology. Just listen to it humming.
Humming? For that money, I'd expect it to sing grand opera.
It's revolutionized the forecasting business. In the 10 days we've been using it, it hasn't been wrong once.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's the computer today, eh?
Running very smoothly along, Simpson.
Oh, good, good. Yes. What did I tell you, Pitkin? Would you like to see it in action?
Yes, I certainly would. Well, your wish is our command, sir. Now, we've already fed in the relevant figures on pressure, temperature, and so. All we do now is insert this card with today's date. So. Then I turn this handle. Push that button up your end, too.
What?
Yes. And hey, presto. Here are the weather conditions in central London at this very moment. Clear skies with a slight breeze.
Amazing! Now, that's what I call a computer.
Of course, you could have found that out by just looking through the window.
Be quiet.
Oh, yes, this machine will have tremendous effects on government policy. Knowing the weather for months ahead, we'll be able to go in for really detailed long-term planning.
We're working on the long-range forecast today, sir.
Quite, and it's a very important one. As you know, it's been dry and sunny for 2 days now, and the farmers are getting a little worried. They're wondering when we'll get some rain.
The computer will have the answer in a couple of hours.
Oh, splendid, splendid. Well, we'll have a spot of lunch, Pitkin, and come back this afternoon.
Oh, good idea, sir. My car's outside.
Oh, that's all right. We'll use my car.
All right.
You can pay for the lunch.
Thank you, sir.
I'll get the rest of the data, one.
Very well, sir.
Oh, by the way, sir, your bookie's been on again.
Oh.
He enjoyed that fudge you sent him, but he still wants the money you owe him.
You brought the racing papers, did you?
Yes, sir, here they are.
Yeah. The trouble is, you see, Mildred, I can't seem to pick them out anymore, you know.
Why don't you ask the computer? If it can forecast weather, it can probably forecast winners.
Mildred, sir? How could you suggest such a thing? That would be a gross misuse of government property.
Oh, well, I spoke, I'm sure. I better nip off and help Mr. Lamb. I'll see you later, sir.
Now, what's come over the girl? Use the computer for racing in the end. Still, I suppose it might work. Anyway, no one would know. Yeah, could just try it, perhaps. Let's see, 3 o'clock, 8 runners, likely Lamb, one last time out, ridden by Alfred.
Where's Mr. Lennox Brown now?
Collecting Lord Stilton and Sir Gregory. They've come back to hear the long-range forecast.
Yeah. Sorry, Mildred.
Well, that's all right, sir. I thought it was the computer.
You're right. It is the computer. I say, it feels quite hot. Almost as if someone had been feeding it the wrong sort of stuff.
Well, surely not. That would be a Gross misuse of government property.
Mr. Bassett told me these computers are very sensitive. If you don't treat them properly, all sorts of things can happen.
Oh, here we are, gentlemen. The computer should be ready with the forecast.
We can work out our plans for the whole summer.
I'll feed in the card for the next 4 months. There we are, sir. 4 months' weather at a glance.
Read it out, Linux Brown.
Very good, sir, yes. May, hot and sunny, no rain. June, very hot and sunny, no rain. July, heat wave, no rain, drought conditions. August...
There must be rain in August. That's when everyone's on holiday.
No! August, extreme heat, no rain, serious drought.
Lord, no wonder the farmers are worried.
But this will be the worst drought we've ever had. Thank heavens the computer's warned us. Now we must take immediate steps.
Perhaps we should restrict the use of water, sir, to conserve the reservoirs.
Don't be ludicrous, Lennox Brown.
Restrict the use of water? Yes, you're quite right. That's just what we need to do, eh, Pitkin?
Yes, sir. Yes, restrict the use of water. Yes, I was going to suggest it myself. In fact, why not ban it altogether? I never drink it.
Well, sir, I hope you know what you're doing with this water ban. Just a week of it's driven my mum up the wall. Especially when Dad got dirty in the garden.
What did she do, Mildred?
Well, what could she do? She sent him to be dry cleaned. Get on at your place, Mr. Lamb.
I wipe myself down with an oily rag. And my landlady baths in milk.
Mrs. Ratby baths in milk?
Yes, only she splashes about so much she ends up sitting in a tub of cream cheese. Now, what about your roses, Bun? They must be dying without water.
We found a way of keeping them moist.
Oh, yes?
Yes. Last thing at night, I go down the garden and... splash some water from the water butt.
Lucky the rain's kept your water butt filled.
That's something that puzzles me, sir. I mean, it's officially a drought. But we've had lots of rain this week.
Never mind the rain, Mildred. If the computer says it's a drought, then in drought it is.
Mind you, the machine was a bit odd the day of the forecast. It went all hot and got hiccups.
Here, I wonder, sir, do you think we ought to see if it still thinks there's going to be a drought?
You mean feed in the current information and get another forecast? Good idea, Mildred.
I suppose it might help to pass the afternoon. Round up the relevant data, too. We may as well see what it says.
It should have the answer by now, one. I'll press my button and you turn your hat on.
All right, sir. Off we go, then.
Here's the forecast. There we are.
What's it say, sir?
It says May. Cloudy, cool, heavy rain. June, some sunshine, but mainly cold and wet. July, there isn't a drought at all. It's a typical English summer. Good Lord.
Here, just a minute, sir. There's another bit of paper come out.
What?
I think the computer's trying to tell us something.
Oh, so it is. Let me see. Sorry about last week's clangor. I had a bout of hot flushes due to having been interfered with.
Whoever could have done that?
The computer says, I was interfered with by Mr. Lennox Brown, who stuffed a lot of horses up my intake.
Honestly, sir, how could you?
Well, you suggested it, Mildred. I've no idea it would cause any harm.
Well, Lord Stilton will go mad, sir. You cut off the country's water for no reason.
And what about Sir Gregory? He was moaning all day because his party's tonight and there isn't any water in the pool.
Ah, well, now that's one thing we can put right to. Now get on to the local water board. Yes. Tell them the emergency's over.
Yes.
They can switch on supplies as soon as possible.
Let's hope they'll be in time, one. Alan Snickers covering the whole thing for TV.
Hello. This is Alan Snicker, and tonight I'm visiting one of the stately homes of England, near the little Bedfordshire village of Brusque. Here stands Brusque Manor. Is this the home of the idle rich living la dolce vita English style, or is it the home of a self-made man reaping the rewards of his success? Let's find out by looking at Sir Gregory Pitkin's Brusque Manor in beds.
It's typical of the man that with the national water ban keeping his swimming pool dry, he's turned frustration to advantage by holding his party in the empty pool. Down there at the deep end, an archbishop joins a notorious actress and Sir Gregory himself. Almost, one might say, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But what's this? Water has started pouring into the pool from all four corners. The party mood is changing to one of panic. Even the Prime Minister has stopped smiling. Sir Gregory Pitkin, calm as always, is urging the ladies to take their clothes off. Now, the water is rising rapidly and Lord Stilton comes floating past me, clutching a sherry trifle. And now Sir Gregory, no longer calm, is trying to climb onto my shoulders. But it's too late. Is this the beginning of the end? Or isn't it? From this strange underwater scene, good night.
Lucky Sir Gregory never found out who had that water turned on.
Oh, I think he was really quite pleased. He got him on the front page of every paper in the country.
Well, what about that business with the computer? That false alarm was all your fault.
Ah, we simply said conditions had changed and there wasn't going to be a drought after all, due to an occluded anticyclone round the polar ice cap.
Do what?
Yes, well, don't worry, Mildred. No one else understood it either, luckily.
Which just goes to prove what my granny used to say.
What was that, sir?
It's an ill wind that blows nobody any good.
Under the weather, as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, and John Graham. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.